This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Millennials are entitled. They're disloyal to their bosses and they don't work hard. Those are some of the stereotypes that staffers from about 80 companies in Colorado discussed this week at a conference hosted by CSU's Business School. The goal? Learn how to hire and retain these Generation Y employees, those who are about 33 years old and younger, and get the most out of them at work. It's been a challenge for a lot of companies, including meat processor JBS in Greeley. Christine Begellin recruits and trains new staff there.
I definitely think there is a sense of urgency. You know, we're going to have to do more and more hiring of this generation. So the more we can understand, you know, Generation Y, where they're coming from, I think the more we can start to transform our own organization and culture to be able to appeal to them.
In 10 years, millennials will make up about 44% of workers in Colorado, according to the state's demographer. And it's a big generation, a kind of second baby boom. Begellin says that at JBS, they'll quickly become more than entry-level employees.
We have a gap right now, really, between middle managers and that higher level management, and it's getting more difficult to fill. We just don't really have enough people to step into those roles. So for us, we're actually trying to get more of the millennial generation into our organization and put them through kind of more rigorous on-the-job and leadership training so that they can step in to management roles sooner than we've had people step into them in the past.
CSU brought in several experts on the millennial workforce. Carrie Willard is a business executive in Fort Collins, and she co-wrote the best-selling book, The 2020 Workplace, How Innovative Companies Attract, Develop, and Keep Tomorrow's Employees Today. David Burstein wrote Fast Future, How the Millennial Generation is Shaping Our World. He's a business consultant and a millennial himself. Thanks to both of you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I want to address this idea that millennials, members of Generation Y, are different from other employees. How much of that has to do with technology skills and growing up in the internet age? Carrie, let's start with you.
We just completed a global study of 5,400 people in 27 countries, and we were very surprised by some myths that I think we can dispel. So we said earlier they're disloyal. Actually, they're just as loyal as everybody else. It's just that we're all a little bit disloyal now, and Gallup reinforces that. So I think it's not a matter of the differences to focus on, but ways in which we're much more alike. Technology does play a factor, what people have called digital natives. And so that is one of the places in which I think there are differences with the comfort level of being in a virtual world versus a non-virtual world.
Digital native, that is growing up around the technology, not really having learned it in the traditional sense, but it having always been a part of you.
Right. And being so comfortable building relationships in a virtual world where people from older generations might feel the need to be more face-to-face to build those relationships. I think there's pretty strong evidence that millennials are more comfortable building and sustaining relationships.
I like this idea, Carrie, of why can't we all just get along? You know, we're not all that different. And we're going to explore that because I think that there are a good number of workers who are not millennials who would push back on this idea that this new generation is all that different and that, you know, they're inflexible by comparison. But first, David, what do you think in terms of the difference between members of Generation Y and the other workers in the workforce?
Well, I think one of the fundamental differences is that the nature of how we think about work, quote unquote, has really shifted in the past 10 or so years. It's been part of a shift that I think has been coming, but this generation is really the first to embody that. So we're seeing people who are not just looking for a job where they can get a paycheck and come in and come out, but people are much more tied into their sense of identity when it comes to where they want to work. They want their work to be meaningful. They want their work to say something about who they are, which may mean working in several different industries, which may mean working in several different sectors. And it also means they care a lot more about who are the people they're working with. So I think, you know, when you have an intergenerational workplace, as we do right now, older people who are in that workplace are not as in tune with a lot of that. Now, that's not to say that they're not looking for meaningful lives and then all that stuff, but I think it's much more become the norm at a very early age for entry-level employees, which I think is a challenge for a lot of employers to figure out how they adapt to that.
Well, let's break apart a few things there. First of all, you said that these workers, millennials, might work in not only several different jobs, but in several different industries.
Right.
And statistics absolutely bear this out. But this notion of mission-driven, that becomes difficult, it strikes me, Carrie, when you've got someone coming into your work as an entry-level employee, you know, in the mailroom or something like that, imbuing that with meaning.
Yeah, I think the most important thing companies can do to solve for that is to make sure they've got a great brand and that they are projecting as part of their brand their corporate social responsibility and what they're doing to build a community.
So that even if you don't necessarily love the tasks of your job, you somehow feel a closeness to the mission of the company?
Right, and what it's accomplishing and that you feel proud to be connected with it. No one wants an Enron on their resume. It's kind of career ending to have Enron on your resume. So I think people, we've learned, baby boomers have learned, not when we came in, but now we've learned as well, be careful about who you go to work for. Make choices that you resonate with the culture.
Give me an example of a company that has done this well.
GE. So they have, you know, a focus on being able to go off and do sabbaticals. You know, they have just very brand consistent kinds of things. We GE for life and that kind of thing. So they're doing a lot of work to make sure that there's authenticity in the messages between outside and inside.
David, do you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, I think that's certainly part of it. And I also think, you know, it really goes to this question of people wanting to feel that they have some kind of role in the enterprise, right? So you mentioned the mailroom. So in some cases, you know, if a company has a really great culture and is doing really great work and is, you know, has a greater mission it's filling, people may be happy to work in the mailroom because they feel that company is great. If they're working at a big company, let's say a financial services company or a marketing company or an ad agency, something like that, there's ways of making people feel, well, gee, maybe the work that this company is doing is not, you know, saving the world, but I feel that I have something I'm doing here that is meaningful, some area where I have some authority, some responsibility, something where when I leave, I will have been able to said, I worked on this, I made this happen. So I think meaning sort of cuts two ways. It's about sort of social purpose, but it's also about people feeling like they have something to contribute, which I think for companies is actually a really interesting value proposition at this particular moment, because millennials not only are going to make up this huge, huge percentage of the workforce, they're also going to make up a huge percentage of the consumer force at the same time. So every company that has all these millennial employees also has to be thinking about how they're creating products and a culture and an outward-facing culture that reflects these consumers that they need to attract.
And this is what we've heard from Carrie, that in a way, the outside and the inside have to match.
And I think that's getting harder and harder to fake in this environment. That line is becoming more and more, you know, because of social media, because of transparency. It used to be you could control everything on the inside, and then on the outside you could say, this is who we are. That's getting harder and harder to do.
I want to push back in the way that Carrie did at the beginning of our interview with the idea that everything you've described, David, I think to members of my team who are not millennials, I think they would respond fundamentally to everything you've talked about. Are you just navel-gazing here? I want to say that you're a millennial, right? And you've written a book about millennials. Maybe you come from the perspective that you're all different and special.
Well, I think it is important to note that this trend is not just limited to the millennial generation. I think the reason we're talking about this so much is this is the first generation where this is, I think, a meaningful enough trend across the board, across a generation, to be significant for us to really be focusing in on how we deal with it. It's a larger portion of the generation, and it's going to be true for a long time, and it's going to be true again for generations that come after, perhaps. This is going to become more of the way we think about it. So so, you know, with this generation, I think part of the reason it's so significant is because we've come of age as a generation at a time of really seismic shifts in our world where all these things are changing. So we're not the people who have changed work, but we're the first people to be the big employee force in this new paradigm in the way we think about it.
In a paradigm in which there's been a significant economic downturn, mm-hmm. we talk about loyalty. You know, loyalty goes both ways. And this is an economy in which there are massive layoffs, you know. And so the loyalty from the corporate standpoint towards the employee isn't necessarily there as well. And these are young people who have grown up with these messages.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the word loyalty and the way we've thought about it in terms of employment always strikes me as interesting. Like, you're somehow bad if you don't stay at the same place for 50 years. I mean, I think for employers, it's a struggle because they're looking at investing in, you know, we're training this person, we're hiring this person, we're bringing this person in. But I think, you know, it's not necessarily the sort of length of service someone serves at your company, but what's the quality of what they contribute when they're there? And what we find time and time again with millennial employees is that when they are excited to be somewhere, when they are motivated, they are incredibly hard workers. And time again, they are incredibly committed to what they're doing. So I really would encourage employers to think about that.
I want to take a break and then talk about tensions between millennials and older workers. Also get some practical tips when it comes to hiring and managing Gen Y. And what motivates millennials? It turns out money is not at the top of the list. This is Colorado Matters from CPR News. You're back with Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. We're talking about millennials, folks 33 and under, give or take, and their relationship to work. This week, CSU gathered representatives from about 80 Colorado companies for a conference titled Why Hire Gen Y? We're talking to two of the presenters, Carrie Williard of Fort Collins. She co-wrote a bestseller called The 2020 Workplace. Also with us, David Burstein, author of Fast Future: How the Millennial Generation is Shaping Our World. He's a business consultant and himself a millennial. Carrie, you say businesses should be paying attention to this generation in part because it's the first big one since the boomers. Just explain why demographically that's the case.
Yeah, so we had this big generation of nearly 80 million people, the baby boomers. That size has decreased over time, obviously. And then in the 60s, that's when the Gen X generation was being born. And at that time, women went back to work and they delayed having their first child. So the average age at which a woman in the United States has her first child is now 7.1 years later than then, enabled by birth control. So we have a much smaller Generation X. And then you get the rebound. Women started to have their babies, and we have this big, nearly 80 million size millennial generation.
So the point there is that it's not just a force to be reckoned with in terms of its worldview, but in its actual size as well.
Correct.
Of course, people are also working for longer. And so it means that these potentially the boomers are alongside the millennials in the workplace. And there can be tension between those groups. In the places you've worked or consulted with, do you see resistance to working with millennials, Carrie?
Well, I see an enormous amount of diversity. I was just talking to someone who said to me, I'm going to have to let go a woman who's been with us 44 years because she's no longer able to fulfill the job requirements. And of course, I said, that's terrible. And he said, she came to us after she retired at 55. So she was 99 and in the workplace.
Oh, my word.
And so I think it's going to be possible that we'll be working not only with our children and our grandchildren, but our great-grandchildren. So I think those tensions are and diversity is only going to be more and more a part of the workplace.
Well, which is it? Tensions or diversity?
Well, those two can go together.
Right. What tensions do you see?
Well,
And what harmony do you see? Let's not just focus on the negative.
Yeah. So, of course, the tensions are reflected in even how you opened this, where we have these preconceived stereotypes of they're arrogant, entitled, they need their parents to be able to work. And if I do a conference where I ask people, how many here have had a parent intervene in the hiring process? And these are HR people. Half of them will raise their hand or more.
Wait. Like a parent?
Yes.
Of the person seeking employment
correct.
Gets
so,
a hold of the HR person.
Correct. And says, what can we do to get this person into the workplace. Or in the case of one woman, I won't name the company, but the recruiter told me that she got a phone call from a parent, a mom, who said, Johnny can't make the interview because he's doing another interview, but I know him so well, I can do the interview for him.
Oh, my word. So this is like the ultimate in helicopter parenting that doesn't stop.
That doesn't stop. But whose behavior is this? This is baby boomer behavior, not...
Oh, not millennial behavior.
Not millennial behavior. I mean, there may be some, coalition going on there, but it's baby boomer behavior.
Yeah, in most of these cases, you'll hear, if you actually talk to the kids, the parents are doing it behind their back, or the kids are saying, please, don't do this, and they're intervening anyway. So I think you hear these stories, I think people have a tendency to say, oh, great, here are these millennials, they're calling in their parents, to do the work for them. That's not really the case.
On the other hand, don't the millennials also have misconceptions about the older workforce as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the biggest challenges we're facing is kind of a intergenerational misunderstanding, let's call it. I have this story told to me time and time again by young employees that I meet, and they say, people are telling me to put away my phone in a meeting. And they're using their phone to take notes and to do work. And, to an older employee, they look and see someone using a cell phone, and they're like, whatever's happening on there can't be serious. That tension point creates a lot of misunderstanding on both sides.
Huh.
I think younger employees, think that this is a new world. In some cases, we're sort of moving ahead, but there's actually a lot they can learn from older employees. At the same time, I think, for most of our history, older people have understood in general more about where the world is headed than younger people have. I think at this particular moment, we're actually at a unique place because in general, younger people understand more things about where things are headed than older people do. And I think that's a challenge for some employers to embrace and say, not just how do we manage these people, but how do we capitalize on their understanding and their insight as digital natives into what we do.
Carrie, as a non-millennial, what do you sort of bristle at that notion?
He has
a better sense of where the world is headed than you do.
In general,
yeah. So I think what's interesting about that is, at times I've asked people, how much does experience matter? Because we have 10,000 people a day turn 65 in the United States. And that means people are exiting. And because that Gen X behind it is small, we're going to have to give big jobs and big responsibility to millennials because there's just not enough Gen X to replace them. So this importance of being able to develop early and take on something early, I think, is really important. I think people who are experienced value that experience. When I ask millennials, how much experience do you think you need to take on really big jobs? The typical answer is 2 years. Because they believe they can find the information they need, and that any information that's older than that is probably dangerous because it's not where we're headed, it's where we've been.
Oh, interesting.
So it's really different mind shifts where...
In a way, they think experience is at about the same length as you keep a laptop before the new one comes out.
Right.
Like 2 years or something.
Yeah, yes, I mean, about 2 years.
Because before that is ancient history.
Correct.
I think part of that is also the kind of entrepreneurial spirit, which says, hey, I'm going to go into this place. I'm going to figure it out. Time and time again, we've seen that about half of people in this generation say someday they would like to start their own company. And that doesn't mean that all of them are going to do it. And in fact, I don't know that we'd be living in the best world if half of the people were running their own companies. But I think it indicates something really interesting, that people in this generation think they can do that. And what that means is in your company, one of every two people who's sitting there is someone who thinks someday they could get a much better gig and that that's something they're thinking about in their head. I think it's an incredibly good thing that people have that spirit and sensibility.
And I wonder if that's because this is a generation that grew up with the image of people in a garage or basement starting something that becomes Apple or Google.
Sure.
Well, this leads to the question of what motivates this generation. Is it money? Is it the notion of advancement? And Carrie, this is something you've actually looked into. Shed some light on it for us.
Yeah. So in our, in the study we conducted at SuccessFactors, SAP, we found that for millennials, the number one driver for what would keep them engaged at work and would drive their satisfaction was having a very clear career plan. But for everyone else, money is the number one thing. Now, millennials, money's important. It's number two. But having a good career plan and being able to see, am I growing, makes a huge difference. And I think things like training make a big impact here, and even how the manager positions work. So if the manager says, here's something you're going to learn with this work, as opposed to just dishing out work, can help make a huge difference in how a millennial feels about their path that they are learning.
So let's go in the shoes of an employer. If I have $80,000 to spend on a position and there's a millennial that might be hired, am I better off paying that person $60,000 and then investing $20,000 in training for that person, other investments that are not salary? Is that the kind of decision I'd make?
I think you'd make a decision along those lines. Whether that's the right blend is to be discussed. And the reason people don't is they go, well, what if I train them and they leave?
And they leave.
Yes.
Well, I mean, half of them want to.
Right. But what if you don't train them? I mean, aren't you missing this even greater opportunity by not training them, by not developing your workforce and having the right people to fit the needs you have?
Well, David, why don't you leave us with some practical advice? So we've talked very, very philosophically in many ways about this generation. What are some brass tacks ideas for employers, do you think, when it comes to working with millennials?
So I think one of the places that has done this really well, I mean, you look at a lot of the financial services companies, they understand that, you know, no longer is it the dream of every, you know, person graduating from college to go work at a financial services company. So they've done a lot of work to develop pretty robust, you know, social responsibility programs, volunteer programs, service programs, things like that. Now, people who are going there are still obviously getting a big paycheck, and that's incentivizing there. But they've tried to emphasize the ways that this work can actually help people. That's certainly a place I've seen done. The other place I would really emphasize is when you look at companies like, say, American Express, which have done a lot of stuff around, you know, encouraging employees to work from home, bringing people in, giving them sort of a sense of responsibility, and also encouraging entrepreneurship. A lot of companies that are engines of job growth have pivoted in a lot of ways to talk about the importance of entrepreneurship, which is particularly attractive to people coming in this generation as well.
Well, what does that look like? Because presumably when I hear entrepreneurship, I think that's something that happens and then takes you out the door.
Well, I think,
but it's like fostering that within the confines of the company.
Yeah. And, you know, there's one company which is sort of a great example of this where, you know, they actually, it was a big media company, they actually discovered that there were a lot of people who were working at their company who had other jobs, who were doing other things, which is sort of expressly forbid by their contract.
Huh.
And so instead of saying, oh, you're all fired because you're going against your contract, they decided to embrace this sidepreneur, as it's become known, and it actually ended up creating valuable partnerships for the company and created, you know, media opportunities for people who are doing this kind of work. And suddenly now everybody was talking about it. It was out in the open and everybody was happier and there was a better culture in the environment. And also the other thing is that companies are now looking at their brand over the long term. So going back to the question around training, yes, the person may only be there for 3 years, but forever after, they're going to be associated with your company. Companies are thinking much more about their alumni who are out there in the world doing things. You know, 20 years ago, not every company had an alumni association that was focused on these kinds of stuff.
Oh, these exist.
You know, oh, absolutely. And that's going to pay off for you very much down the road when that person goes to launch a business. Hey, former ex-employee, that's going to bring value to your company down the road.
Well, thanks to both of you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David Burstein and Carrie Williard spoke at this week's Why Hire Gen Y conference at Colorado State University. Read more about them and their philosophies at cprnews.org and share your experience with millennials and navigating a multi-generational workplace on our Facebook page, CPR News. Rachel Estabrook and Elaine Grant produced today's show. I'm Ryan Warner. This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio.